Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. Today we have our host, Mike Davis, and our guest is Carlos Penning. He is with Youth with a Mission here in Chico. Would you like to open us in prayer, Mike?
Certainly. Thank you. Father God, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for this day and all days. We thank you for your blessings and your grace and your mercies. Lord, we do thank you for your word, your promises, your protection. Most of all, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your dear, precious, holy Son that died on the cross that our sins might be washed away, and through his resurrection we have the hope of eternal life. And Father God, we do pray that you would anoint this conversation and this fellowship. Lord, let our words be pure, pleasant, and positive, and Lord, help us to honor and glorify and worship you with every thought, word, deed, and attitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Carlos, welcome to Christ Today. And what brings you here, both to the show and to Chico? Tell us a little about yourself, please.
Well, my name is Carlos Penning, and I've been serving with this missions movement called Youth with a Mission for over 20 years now. And we have actually one location here in Chico, California, that just been involved locally, we say, locally and globally. And I just love this opportunity to come and share a little bit about what this mission is about, and also about something very specific that we're doing here in Chico at the end of April. I'm just excited to kind of answer some questions and share the heart of what's been happening in this.
And that April event happens when?
April 29th and 30th. It's an evangelistic event that's happening on a Friday and Saturday night.
Wonderful. We'll get back with that. And so tell us more about your experience with Youth with a Mission.
Well, Youth with a Mission, this is a missionary movement that it's international in its scope. We're in over 180 nations established, and over 1,000 centers that are doing training. Now, the three areas that we focus strongly on is a three-chord. It's an evangelism, world evangelization. Just we believe that the gospel of Jesus is to be preached in every people group, in every nation, in every corner of the planet. Amen? Just giving the world an opportunity to respond to the love of God. Also, we work powerfully in the area of mercy ministries. We believe just an expression of radical compassion is really following Jesus' example. He modeled that. So many places in the Word we see that Jesus was moved by compassion. And then the third is the area of discipling the nations, which is the area of training. One of the things that Youth of the Mission has developed is a university called University of the Nations, where we're just training and equipping men and women to serve in all of the spheres of society to bring the gospel through those spheres. And
so, and that's what you do. You do that on a daily basis.
That's right. Yep.
And, well, that's introducing Youth with a Mission. Mm-hmm. And how about for your experience? How would you explain your a quick introduction to you?
My personal experience with the mission, you know, I started back in 95. I was coming out of university, learning law enforcement, thinking of going into the field of law enforcement. One of the things that was a passion in my heart was to just saw the injustice in our planet, in our nation, in our cities. My journey has been, I used to be a street kid in Chile, actually. Came from a lot of brokenness, and there was a family that from the United States that adopted me at the age of 12 and just showed me the radical love of God and just began to see a transformation and a healing in my heart. But by the time I got to a college level, there was a sense in my heart that, you know what, we need to deal with this injustice and we need to deal with this brokenness. So I pursued law enforcement, but somewhere in that journey, God got a hold of my heart and just said, Carlos, there's a different way we're going to deal with this brokenness, and it's going to be from internal to external, even though we mm-hmm. need the external forces to come. But the main part is that we're going to touch the heart. We're going to change the heart. And from there, my kingdom will begin to expand outwardly, you know. So, boom, I bumped into YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and went through this six-month training course where I just 3 months of intensive heart stuff, and then 3 months of outreach where we went to the nations and we faced the brokenness. We were able to just begin to express the love of God in very tangible ways. And from there, I was ruined. I was ruined for the ordinary, we would say, right? I felt like God said, I want you to continue in this mission. And I went on to do other schools. And next thing you know, I was in a place of leadership and moving and developing. And now here I am in Chico, California.
Yeah. Let's go back to when you were 12. So when you were 12, you came to have a new experience in a new country. Would you say it was new?
Oh, it was brand new to me. A brand new family, a new father, mother, they began to show me what the father and mother heart of God looked like. I came from a place where my mother was killed at a young age, my father was in prison. And so there was a redeeming, a restoring, a healing that took place through this couple. But I want to tell you, this couple in many ways exemplified the love of God, where we see the Bible, the biblical story of Jesus coming into a situation of great brokenness and taking a risk with us and being willing to get dirty. I mean, imagine an adoption of a 12-year-old living on the street. Just a willingness to step in and just to love unconditionally, so that those walls would finally fall, and then all of a sudden there's a response back. See, there in the adoption, there had to be an adoption from us to them as well. You see that?
Yeah.
Adoption is not just parents adopting kids, but it has to go from kids adopting the parents as well. And we see that in the body of Christ, you know, Jesus saying, you know, you've been adopted, but you need to respond to this love, right? In Romans chapter 8, we see this passion of God saying, you know, the Spirit of God in you is calling, Abba, Father, come, respond to the adoption, you know.
Where were you when this happened? What part of the United States?
In Minnesota.
Yeah.
In a farm.
And now you're in California.
Now here I am in California. Yep.
Yeah.
Been working with this mission for about 20 years. Just before Chico, we were in Guatemala.
Yeah.
My wife and I were serving there for 9 years. Our three children were born there. We call ourselves the American family because my wife is from Louisiana, representing the North. My children, my three sons, were born in Guatemala, representing Central.
Wow.
And I was born in Chile, and so South. So we're the all-American family here in Chico.
Very good. What was your age when you came to the Lord?
You know, it was probably around 13 or 14 years old. Okay. I just began to see the relationship that my mom had with God, which was a totally different thing than I had experienced in Chile, in a more of a religious Roman Catholic kind of a thing, in cathedrals, buildings where we would go in and experience this God that was distant, you know. And I began to see in this woman, she's having this relationship. She's talking. She's reading this book, and she's sitting out in the picnic table experiencing. I thought she was crazy, you know. But as this thing started to unfold, I realized she had something personal with God, and my heart just started to long. What is that? Because I've never seen that, you know. And
well, that's excellent because it didn't take long.
No,
it certainly didn't take long.
That's
to see that, and that's such a blessing that you were adopted. You could have been easily adopted by somebody who wasn't engaged with God.
That's right.
And that would have been just as much of a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you know, in my experience, a lot of people say, you know, they like to say these things like, "There, but for the grace of God go I," but they're always talking about people who are economically down and out. Yes. Nobody ever says, "Oh, but for the grace of God go I," and there goes the limousine, and the guy in the limousine is maybe further from God than the guy that knows he's down and out. He knows he's down and out.
That's right.
He knows that he needs God's help.
That's right.
But, you know, the guy that is in the limo, he's got it all working for him, you know, economically, but not quite there spiritually.
That's right. There's not a realization of their desperate need for God. And that can be very tricky, and I think Jesus spoke into that when he said it's not going to be easy for the rich man to come to this place. But I think we as Christians in this nation wrestle with that, right? There's a sense of like, I don't know if I really need God, you know? It seems like this God thing is more for the weak and those that are in desperate needs, but I think we got it here. We And so Jesus spoke into that and said, I believe that there's so much truth in what you're saying in that, yeah.
Well, speak a minute to, we just had a conversation offline, and we were talking about the difference between evangelism overseas and evangelism here in a first world country versus a second or a third world country. Let's talk a little bit about the flavor of that kind of conversation.
You know, working with Youth of the Mission in other nations, third world nations, we saw just a real openness. Let's say we were having an evangelism crusade kind of a event, and we just set up a sound system, and we would have some foreigners out there, you know, speaking in their broken Spanish, or maybe even in nations in Africa, or even in China, and there's a great response. There's a desire, a longing. People are like, oh my gosh, there's something new, something. There's music, there's sound, and it's so easy sometimes to just gather people that are willing to listen and to. Now that goes both ways. They might listen to anybody. Anyone can come out there and just, you know what I'm saying? But there's an openness there. Whereas when you step into nations that are developed and they're well, we would call them first world nations. There's a bit more of a sense of like, you know, what are you offering? What are you showing? And maybe I'm not interested because my cup is full in a way. My cup is full of entertainment or there's satisfaction in every level, whether it's emotionally, physically, food, sex, anything. There's a fullness. I'm taken care of materially. There's no need. So there's a less of a openness because everything else has satisfied my life. You see that? So the receptiveness and the way that we bring the gospel to those nations has to be completely different. And yet, I believe Jesus modeled that with his life. That's why many people would say, you know, Jesus really is the perfect theology, because his life was showing us how he felt and what he believed. And we see that he was also preaching a kingdom message that was not just for the poor and for the desperate nations that are in poverty, but he was saying, this gospel is for all. And it had to go into all the spheres. And he modeled that in the way he reached out into women that were in business and men that were in places of developed already in economically. And yet he also reached out to the desperate and hung out in the places where the Pharisees would say, what is he doing in those places, you know? And so he was showing with his life that, look, the gospel must go into every corner and every place. And when that's done, then we have done what it was on Papa's heart, you know.
Well, and we do have the example in Acts where Paul was in Athens, where they were running around day
That's
after
right.
day, listening to every new thing. Mm. And I like to think of the United States and all the developed nations as that Athens that they have access to the latest in entertainment, the latest gadget, the latest toys, the latest technology, and the latest philosophies that are just flying around the internet like crazy. Wouldn't you say that the United States and other developed nations are actually at a disadvantage to hear the gospel, to being open to the gospel?
You know, I've heard a friend one time said, you know, being blessed, being a nation that is blessed, what does that look like? You know, and we're thinking in the context of what you're asking is, you know, we might consider ourselves, you know, we're so blessed, we have everything, but yet our hearts can become so numb, you know, and I believe that's that place where Jesus, he knows in his creativity and in his wisdom and in his love and passion for us, he knows how do I reach each individual where they're at. You know, it appears that in a underdeveloped nation, there's a greater openness and greater willingness to listen. But like I said, it could be, I will listen to anything and everything as long as I get something. So, but Jesus knows, he's the Holy Spirit, the Father, they understand the dynamics of the human heart. And how do we reach a man that is in a place of desperate need? And yet, how do we truly reach that heart So it's not just an emotional response, because there's a desperate need for something today where they might respond to another idea tomorrow if someone came up here with huge speakers and foreigners with microphones. But how do we truly reach them? So there will be a response and an engagement into an intimacy, a ginosko, we would say, you know, with Jesus, that's not just responding emotionally to something where I'm going to get something back. You see that? But he also knows, how do I reach the heart of the man or the woman or the young 16-year-old that feels like, I have everything I need. I'm wearing the clothes that says who I am, and my future is completely secured, and I have all the gadgets to keep me connected and happy. And what need do I have for some faith or some thing? You see, Jesus knows how. And I believe, as missionaries, which is not just some career thing like I'm doing, but it is a calling that he gave us all when he said, go therefore and make disciples of the nations. Now, baptize, submerge them in a culture of kingdom, the name of the Father, the Son. You know, you see that when he said that in Matthew 10:7, as you go. In other words, not if or when or some of you, but he says, as you go, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he talked to us what that kingdom. See, I believe that when we do that with God and we partner with the Holy Spirit, we will know how do we get into the hearts of men, whether they are in a desperate nation that has no food for today, or whether they're in a nation that is so developed that their gadgets are coming out of the wazoo.
Absolutely. And that's where the Holy Spirit, we really have to be connected.
Amen.
Because they're going to know the word to give these folks, the understanding. If we get a supernatural word for somebody,
yes,
or we start
yes.
reading somebody's mail, it's not us. It is the Holy Spirit that's telling us, listen, ask them about such and such, or go ahead and give them a word of comfort. Give them that peace that surpasses understanding.
Yes.
Because when we lift up Christ Jesus, we're imparting to them the Holy Spirit is talking through us, and the Spirit is talking directly to their heart. And can reach their heart, because the Holy Spirit knows what they need. I don't know what they need.
And
the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
But you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says it's the things that are seen that are temporal. It's the things that we do not see that are eternal.
Yes.
And that's the problem that we have with the developed nations, is we have so many things to look at and
that's
to be
right.
seen, and they're all temporal.
Yeah.
They're not lasting. They're not going to last. We have to connect with God, and it is the Holy Spirit that's going to guide us on how to connect with people and how to lift up Christ Jesus.
Wow.
When we find ourselves lifting up Christ Jesus, God says in his word that he will draw all men to himself.
Amen. Jesus, be lifted up. Amen.
One of the things that I want to go ahead and right now, what I'd like to do is I would like to go ahead and read a scripture. Mm-hmm. And then I'd like to have you comment just a little bit on where you find this. Romans chapter 11 says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So talk a little bit about those folks that think that maybe the will of God may have bypassed them, or they're too, you know, too old, too young, too whatever, that maybe they have not quite been in God's will, but God can still use them for ministry.
You know, I've always seen this, and I'll tell you what, I believe the place where God began to teach me this was when I was adopted into this farm in southern Minnesota. You know, there was a stirring in my heart there was a message of taking over the farm, kind of a sense of a family. You guys, maybe we've kind of losing this culture in America, even the sense of the ownership of farmers and their land, and a desire for a mom and dad, for their sons and daughters, who will take the business of the family, right? And I remember this beating in the heart of my mom and dad and grandpa, and even though, you know, my heart later pursued something totally different, but there was like a longing in their hearts, would you take ownership of the family business? In other words, it wasn't a working in a McDonald's where you just, here's the list, do what you're told, drop the grill, pull it up, 30 seconds, flip the burger, throw it out, put it in a wrapper. It was a need for the sons and daughters to take ownership of the family business, of who will go and take care of that, and that fence is down and the cows are out, and who there was not a top down system, but it was a family business. And I felt like in that there was God was cultivating and developing something in my heart that later, as I stepped into the business of the family, think of Jesus at 12 years old in Luke chapter 2. Mom and dad are looking for him, 3 days. Mary and Joseph, I think it says Mary was, there was anxiety in her heart. And Jesus, why have you done this to us? 3 days later, they found him. And he responds in such a powerful way. It always stuck in my head. At 12 years old, he already understood, how could I not be about my papa's business? You know, the family business. I've told my sons, I have a 13, an 11, and a 9. I'm like, sons, hey, Jesus at 12 was already stepping in with such ownership. This wasn't just mom and dad's religion. We're not just in church and because mom and, this was a young boy developing and realizing this is the business of the family. And we must step in with our gift, with our heart, with the wiring, the way God designed us. And so it doesn't matter what level or what, God has called us, invited us. It says in Corinthians, we are co-laborers with Christ. In other words, he has chosen to share this, the family business. And how will we go? You hear in Isaiah 6, who will go for us? Who will go and represent? There's always been a desire to share the business of the family, calling us to, I've gifted you, I've equipped you. You have the ability to develop skills, to step into spheres of society where maybe no one will, I will never be in those circles, but you're there. You might be in that dark place where God's like, I've put you there. You could be a light. You could take the family business there. See, it's no longer an ark that carries his presence, but it is his sons and daughters. They can carry his presence into those places. So I feel like the enemy has lied to us in a way, making us think that it's only the few or the chosen. But it's like the invitation has been out. And few are responding to the invitation, to saying, here am I. Papa, use me in that field of engineering to serve my city powerfully. Use me in the sphere of government to represent your heart in values and principles of the kingdom in those places. Take my heart and my strength and my energy in the field of education. And I would like to represent you there, God, and develop things and teachers and parents to bring kingdom into the secular sphere. I'm telling you, I feel like we have to step out of that lie and say, God, we are going to step into the family business. Whether we're 12 or whether we're 62, it doesn't matter. We're saying, God, this is so exciting that you've shared this invitation with us. And it does take great ownership, and it does take great responsibility, because it's not a do as you're told relationship. See, in John 15:15, Jesus was already trying to move beyond the obedience relationship. See, obedience is powerful. But when people move because they know the heart of Jesus, now they're no longer having to be told what to do. But they know because they know his heart. And in John 15:15, Jesus was like, guys, we have to move into a friendship relationship, not just doing what you're told relationship. And he called the disciples out into that. And they had already experienced it, but they were like, they're still like, just tell us what to do, Jesus, and we'll do it. And he was like, no, we got to move past that.
That's very nice. And how nice it is to be a part of the Christian community. Mm. And as such, we're going to give thanks for our sponsors. Today, our sponsor is Ken Malone. He's the pastor of the New Life Church in Oroville. Mm. This church is on the corner of 10th and Grand Avenue. They have a Sunday service at 10 a.m. in Oroville. And Pastor Malone would certainly be happy to see anyone coming to this service. All right, gentlemen, thank you. We are now back to Christ Today with Carlos Penning, and the host of the show is Mike Davis, and I'm John Stephenson. Thank you.
And Carlos, welcome. We are so glad that you're here today. Now, one of the things that we want to transition just a little bit, and we're going to go ahead and try and tie some of the loose ends together, but you have an event that's coming up later this month called Chico Alive. Mm. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And while we're there, okay, I want you to go ahead and define a word that you used earlier. You used the word crusade. And I'm afraid that the Christian community, a lot of times we throw out these words, call it Christianese, and let's go ahead and make sure that everybody understands what we're talking about on the crusade so somebody doesn't define it for us.
That's awesome. Let me give you a little bit of history. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, a friend of mine, his name is Chris Overstreet, he had gone through one of our training, missionary training courses at YWAM, Youth with a Mission, here in Chico, years back, just God developing his heart, awakening him into the things of the kingdom. And in that time, he shares with me that his heart was he would walk the downtown plaza and evangelize and share the love of God. And he remembers way back in those years, feeling a sense in his heart that one day we're gonna have an event here, an evangelistic event. Can you believe that? I mean, years ago, he was already in his heart beating. And through the years, he's just been used by God. He's been rising up in the business of the kingdom. And he's been going all over Africa doing these crusades, evangelistic crusades, presenting the gospel, the simplicity, the power of the gospel. And many hundreds and hundreds have been coming to the Lord. And so over a year ago, he meets with me at this gathering that we were together in. And he says, Carlos, I've been doing this all over Africa. And I feel the heart of God saying, will you do it here? Will you do it in North America, in Northern California? Will you start in Chico? And he remembers his history with Chico. And he remembers the heartbeat that he carried. And so he looked to me as a friend because of our involvement in the city as missionaries in this place, being in Chico. And he said, would there be a place for this kind of thing? Now, my heart leaped and said, yes, there's power in agreement. Where two or more are gathered, there's powerful agreement in kingdom business. And the Lord is looking at or that kind of, will you ask me? And if it's in my name and it's in kingdom business, we're going to be strongly supporting your hearts. And so Chris and I just agreed in friendship, and we began to talk and text back and forth. And just there was a sense of like, let's share this with fathers and mothers of the city, spiritual mothers and fathers that are thinking of the whole, not just one move or one congregation, but they're thinking hot the whole family, you know? So we met with one of these spiritual fathers and shared the heart, and there were several other pastors and leaders of the community, and we just met for the first time back in July in a coffee shop, and there was such agreement, there was such a yes. We kept sensing the yes. The Holy Spirit was just affirming our steps as we put our plans down, as it says in Proverbs 16:9. There was an affirming. Then we went on and just began to share with pastors that we were in relationship with. Said, hey, would this be something that you could see? And the continuation of yes continued to move. There was a building of agreement from mothers and fathers, from leaders of congregations. We also met with our family in YWAM. There are at least 20 churches represented just in our staff. All of these missionaries that are here full-time, they've come to this nation, but they've also realized we must connect with local churches. And in those connections, they've built relationships, and some of them have become leaders in those churches. And so through those relationships, we began to invite the body of Christ, realizing that this could not be someone from the outside just coming in to do an evangelistic event, a presenting of the gospel, and a big bang, boom, and then everything just goes back to business as usual. It could not be YWAM saying, yes, we're in, let's do it. We do this in China, we do it in Africa. Why not here, you know? It could not be just that, but we had to have an agreement of the local body of Christ saying, we will form a net to catch the fish when they come. We will be the ones that will help to bring them onto boats, congregations and families that will say, we will disciple them. We will continue to walk together and grow together and grow in maturity as we take on the family business. Amen? So in these last months, we've been just growing in those, sharing the heart, meeting in coffee shops, agreeing together here and presenting the needs, the opportunities. We've formed ministry teams from about over 10 churches now have stepped in and just felt like, yeah, we would love to be a part of that, of creating a team that will help to, as people are accepting Jesus into their hearts, we want to be there to pray with them, to agree with them, to write down their names and their phone numbers, to say, how can we walk together now? How can we continue in the journey of kingdom? Because see, evangelism is only the doorway, right? It's just the doorway into the kingdom. You think of a big crusade, that's just the beginning of people stepping in. For some, it's coming home again. It's some, for many, I believe it's like prodigal sons that are finally turned and said, we've hit the bottom. We're now coming back. We're not worthy. Oh, we could be. Maybe if you just treat us like servants. And Jesus is like, no, we cannot stay on a servant relationship. You are a son. You are, you know, you are part of the family. You are an heir with Jesus. And so I just want to tell you, this, it's been unfolding little by little. We've just been, there's been unity. There's been agreement. Intercessors, one of our staff just began to call out the intercessors in the city.
Yeah.
Men and women that have been praying for years. They've been in all different denominations. We've been meeting once a month in the downtown plaza. See, we felt like the downtown represented the heart, symbolically, the heart of the city. So we rented the downtown for April 29th and 30th to have this presentation of the gospel through music, through message, through an application, a response, through a showing of God's love, his radical compassion in meeting practical needs. And see, as the body of Christ has come together in agreement, there's been intercessors coming, saying, you know what, we're from this group or we're from that church, but we are agreeing in prayer for the salvation of people's hearts here in this city, but also for an increase in evangelism in the city. Don't you? I just feel like there's a sense that if we're not careful, we can become so politically correct that we just become NGOs. We're doing good things and we're loving people well. But Jesus is not at the core. See, Jesus has to be at the core. We can paint orphanages. We can bring food to people. We can build homes for people in Mexico. We can even help people here financially. But listen to me. If their heart is not turned to Jesus, that's only just a nice house. But the journey is still the same. See?
Well, and that's a really, really good point. Speak to a moment about how evangelism, or let's say somebody goes through YWAM to a foreign ministry, okay, how does that change them? I mean, I know that they're evangelizing for the Lord, but there are some people that really get changed on those missions and come back with a completely different relationship with the Lord because of the experience that they've had.
Oh, yes, I believe that the more our hearts intertwine with the reality of our planet, the more we come alive. There's an awakening. See, this event that we're having in April 29th and 30th is called Chico Alive. There's an awakening that we're already experiencing now as people are saying, we want to be a part of that. There's an evangelism, a passion for the lost, which is not just some method or something that we do, but it's really saying, Papa, if you feel a longing for the sons and daughters to come home, you know, if you have a heart for the lost, and we see it throughout Scripture, you're the passion of the Christ to go and do all that, you know, we want to identify our hearts with that. See, it's not enough for us to have our way into heaven or our, hey, I'm safe in a sense. But it's now way past us. And now we're saying, we want to do what you do. We want to take on the things that you have. And he has very clearly said, you know, I've given you now the ministry of reconciliation. I've released you. I've empowered you. I've released the Holy Spirit on you. There's such a longing in his heart that we would do this together. Amen? So I think as we go, whether it's to a garbage dump in Mexico to build a home for a family that is in desperate need, whether it's in China preaching the gospel in underground churches, or whether it's downtown Chico where our hearts are getting wrapped around the reality of people that are desperately seeking something else. It could be a person that is completely secure financially, but there's great depression, there's great brokenness and loneliness. And God is saying, I want to meet you right there. I want to heal you, and I want to invite you into the family. Amen?
Amen. And that is so important because of the fact that what you said earlier about going and yet not having that in your heart, that love of God in your heart. Because 1 Corinthians says, you know, although I speak with the voice of angels and the language of all sorts of men, if I'm just making noise, I'm just a clanging cymbal. If I don't have love in my heart, if the love of God, if the agape love of God is not going with me, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. And we have so many people running around trying to give something away that they don't have, you know? Yeah. I'm saying that, you know, a lot of times we need to examine ourselves before we get too far going to, you know, trying to give somebody that we don't have ourselves, you know? We need to make sure that we are covering the love of God, that we're giving somebody the love of God out of the love of God.
That's so good.
You know, we have a number of people that say, mm-hmm. well, come on over here and let me preach the gospel at you because I heard today in church that that's my responsibility. Mm. Let's not do it out of responsibility. Let's do it out of love. Let's do it out of love.
That's right.
C.S. Lewis said, the way a society treats their people actually shows how much they believe the gospel and how much they don't believe the gospel. Because if you look at an empire may last 500 or 1,000 years. And a lot of people that are in those empires that last 500 or 1,000 years, they don't treat their people very well. That's because they don't believe that those people are eternal in nature. By treating people as if they had an eternal spirit, mm-hmm. and you know that that's going to last a lot longer than a 500-year or 1,000-year empire,
yes.
okay, our challenge is to consider the person behind behind the action, let's say. We see the action, we don't like the action, but we've got a person behind there, and they may be controlled or deceived by something that is totally ungodly, mm-hmm. okay? And we have to break through there. And the way to break through there is not by ourselves, you know?
That's right.
When we're attacked, it's not by ourselves. Mm-hmm. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. That's what Jesus says. Even when we're in spiritual warfare, when we're in intercession, when we're fighting for our lives,
together
you know, our spiritual lives, mm-hmm. you know, using the sword of the Spirit, we need to be in prayer.
That's right.
We need to be praising God. We need to... You know, we need to be taking the love of God as the first defense and then the first message.
Amen.
And I'm so concerned that, you know, what we're talking about here in this Chico Alive meeting, this crusade, mm-hmm. we're talking about a revival.
Yes.
Because America has known God. And we need to go ahead and revival starts in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Revival isn't out there somewhere. Revival is in our heart.
Wow!
And I would suggest that there are several different things that people need to do in preparation for this Chico Alive event. What they need to do is, first off, they need to be seeking the Lord ahead of time. They need to bring the Lord with them.
Yes.
They don't need to come and try and meet the Lord. Bring the Lord with you, because where two or three are gathered, there is He in their presence.
Right. That's right.
And other than that, I would suggest that since we're talking about a revival, what we need to do is each and every one of us need to do that annual house cleaning.
Mm.
What is it that's keeping us from a higher relationship with God?
Wow.
Let's not treat the gospel, let's not treat the cross of Jesus Christ as fire insurance. It is much more than fire insurance. God wants that relationship. And we don't want just enough of God to keep us out of the flames. We want all we can
get. The fullness.
And if we're going to get the fullness, then
we got to have
those things that are keeping us from that relationship out. Yeah. We have to do that housekeeping, that house cleaning. We have to do it on a regular basis. We can't just wait until, you know, somebody visits town and do this. This is a great opportunity for getting together with the rest of the body. If we do the house cleaning now, knowing that this is not the last house cleaning we're going to do, as we get closer to the Lord, we're going to need other house cleanings. The closer you get to the light, the more the things that are between you and God cast that shadow that says, oh, there's something else that needs to leave. It needs to get out because it's keeping me from the fullness of His light.
Amen.
And we need to go ahead and identify those things on a regular basis. The closer you get to God, the more things there are that are going to cast that shadow that are going to get in your way. And we need to go ahead and make sure that we're not stumbling over stuff as we're trying to get closer and closer to God.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, it's powerful what you're saying, because when we're preparing for a move of God in our city. We're not just preparing our church or our family, but we're preparing a city. And we began to take on a heart of intercession like Daniel did for his city. You think of him crying out, president. But there was also a asking, Lord, if there be anything in my life that would open up a door for the enemy, if there's any offense, any broken, I just want to walk that out in humility and in obedience, in repentance and forgiveness. And there's such a beautiful thing that takes place. You think of it in a home when a father and mother just humble themselves and, honey, I want to ask for your forgiveness. And they take care of the brokenness of offense or you know, there's repentance, forgiveness. Then it goes into the children and the children. Boy, you've just prepared that house for a move of God. You know what I mean? Now you think Amen. Of it in an openness. You think of the city, a city preparing and just saying, God, we just, because see, this Chico Alive event, we don't want it to be filled with just Christians. And we, you know, when we say, hey, raise your hand if you want to accept the Lord. Well, if no one, no hands, because everyone's Christian. But we want it. We want these men and women and young and old that are out there. And this is the month where we're pushing it through the radio, through a touch card, through invitations. Many of these churches that have stepped in and said, we want to be a part of this. They said, we're giving them packets of cards, of invitations. Hey, would you, in the spheres and in the circles where God has you as a church, would you invite the lost? And see, this is not probably on this radio station. There's not a lot of people that are now walking with the Lord, even though there might be. And if they are, there's a pulling of their hug, a tugging of like, this is the family and you are a part of it. Now come home, you know. But as the men and women of the Church of Chico began to invite people that are in their cubicles, in their offices, you know, in the factory, in the police station, in the DA office, as they say, you know what, why don't you come with me to this Chico Alive? There's going to be a touch of God. Would you just come? I want to pick you up. I want to take you, you know. Bring your family. Maybe there's desperate needs. Maybe you're in relationship with someone that there's brokenness in their life. And you say, you know what, would you come with me? Let's go and experience a touch of God. There's hope in your situation, you know. And I believe as we do that, those relational connections, we are going to bring people that are in a desperate need of seeing God, experiencing God, responding to God, and beginning a powerful relationship with Jesus that will take them into the family business. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I believe that. This is the month. I want to ask you, would you pray with us? Would you agree with us that as we are also preparing the house, I love what you brought up, as we're preparing the house, we're dealing with offenses. We're letting go of the things that easily entangle us. All the stuff that the enemy would use to keep back a move of God, we're dealing with it. We're letting it go. We're saying, Jesus, we're totally open to you. Come. Mm-hmm. Do what you desire. Mm-hmm. What does it look like for a city to be touched by God? For a whole city, not just a church to be exploding, but for a whole city to experience. Well, we are in a journey. This city, as I hear the intercessors and the pastors and the ministers of God, we are in a journey that continues to unfold. And God is not going to give up on Chico. Amen? Amen? God is saying this city will be a city, a light on the hill that will shine. And so let's agree together to see that. This is only Amen. A part of this journey. This Chico Alive is one thing in the many of this unfolding of God's purposes and plans and dreams for Chico.
And it starts with each person. Each one of us makes a choice to seek and understand, to know Jesus. And with that, we have many people who are involved in the Christian community. We welcome anyone who needs to know Jesus, who doesn't know Jesus, mm-hmm. and is interested in finding out what is this relationship all about. So as a part of this, we also have various churches that are a part of broadcasting, and one of them is our supporter, who's Mark Hicks. He's pastor of the Calvary Christian Fellowship in Oroville on Fallbrook. He has a Sunday Bible study at 9:45 a.m., and it's followed by the worship service at 11 a.m., and certainly everyone in the area is welcome to that. And that is also in Oroville, so welcome to all our Christian family. Thank you.
Now, Carlos, welcome back. And one of the things that we want to talk about is, and you brought up before John 15, and it's interesting that you did bring up John 15, because John 15 promises us as Christians two things. Now, this is the chapter that starts out Jesus saying, I am the true vine. and you are the branches, and you can do nothing without me, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're promised two things, okay? We're promised that God is going to prune us, that we bear more fruit. But he also says if we don't bear any fruit at all, we're also going to be pruned and thrown in the fire, okay? So pruned if we do and pruned if we don't, okay? And one of the things that I do want to remind our listening audience is that the Christian life, getting closer to God, is not without, let's say, its temporal hazards, okay? Because we're working and loving and building a relationship with an eternal God, and he is much more interested in the eternal than he is in the temporal, okay? So he's going to prune things out of our lives, or he's going to at least identify to us those things that he can prune out and give us an opportunity to prune, do the pruning ourselves. If we don't set something aside, he will, in the end, prune something that is going to destroy us rather than give that to us, just like he is not going to allow he's not going to say yes to a prayer that's taking us further away. He is going to say no, 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 until we just absolutely insist, and then he'll say, okay, have it your way, and then I'll be here when you need the pieces picked up. So let me go ahead and talk a little bit about becoming a Christian, because a Christian isn't a bed of roses. It's got thorns in there. Talk a little bit about we're talking about bringing people to Christ, and most people come to Christ because they have a problem, because they have a crisis, because something is going on. And sometimes that's not the end of their crisis just because they turn their lives over to God. Go ahead and speak to that a little bit.
You know, Jesus was so open about this. He talked about us living in a planet that has experienced great brokenness. And especially the reality of a broken planet, we see that many times those consequences don't have any mercy, whether it's the brokenness in the human body or whether it's the brokenness in the tectonic plates that are slipping because of the earth's cracked and causing waves and tsunamis, changes in the pattern of weather. Whereas many might say, well, that's just God moving and doing, but God was very clear in Romans 8 that even creation is groaning, longing for that day of redemption. Creation meaning even our physical bodies, as we experience brokenness, that God would respond in a loving way to say, well, I would like to heal that. I would like to touch that. I would like to, you know, you see Jesus, but yet he said, this is here. There are trials and there are tribulations. And he promises us, I will be with you always. I will walk with you in the midst of this. I will release a grace so that you can walk through that. But I will walk with you. And we think of Jesus walking on the sand, the prince. Everyone probably would know that. And he's picking us up. He's saying, but I will walk with you. I will carry you at times. I will teach you how to walk with others. So I think as we enter the family, as we respond to his love, as we acknowledge our desperate need of Jesus, our Savior, as we receive his forgiveness, as we step into the family business. In other words, we don't just stay toddlers with God. We move beyond this little goo-goo-gaga relationship, right? Because we know that we must increase and grow in our love. And so it goes beyond just, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I love you too. Oh, I love you. And we stay there for 5 years. It's like, God's like, no, grow. My love is deep and wide. And there's and as we mature, we begin to take ownership and going, oh, okay, the family business is much bigger than I thought. And we didn't take ownership, and we partner in areas with God. And I think, but yet we still, and he still says, I will be with you in the midst of this brokenness. And even though you can bring my presence into dark places, and you can express my love, and it will push back the powers of darkness, and it will change the atmosphere where there was depression, there will now be joy, you know, where there was sickness, now there might be healing, where there was hurt and violence and pain, now there's peace and there's righteousness, right? We can shift, but yet there's still brokenness. It is not being healed in its fullness, because that day is coming. Amen. And so he says, I will walk with you. I will be with you. And see, I want to just take it back to the 29th and 30th, when we present this once again in the city together in the heart of the city. Many will come into the kingdom of God. Many will respond. And I feel like what a key place for the church to say, will you join us? Will you join our family, our church? Because see, we're going to walk together. See, God said, walk together. Don't do this alone. There's no lone rangers on the kingdom of God. You know, I'm just going to ride my horse into the desert alone with Jesus. That's all I need. See, Jesus modeled something different. He said, we're going to have unity with him. His prayer was that they might be one as we are one. Isn't that beautiful? He was talking about a continuation of relationship, not just with him, but with one another. He's like, love me with all your heart, with all your soul, but love one another. Love your brother. You know, there's such a clarity in that. And so I believe that as we step in and as we no longer ride on the fringes or on the edges of the kingdom, looking in, going, yeah, I believe in God. And yeah, that was mom and dad's thing. And I go to church, you know, I go to church on Easter, you know, as they finally say, you know what, I'm tired of being on the outside. I'm stepping in. I'm running to the arms of my father saying, you know what, this is my rightful place. I am a son. I am a daughter. And I want to walk like one. I want to experience it. And I want to love it. And I believe that we need each other. We need the body. We need the family of God.
We do. And you know, nobody wants a relationship with us more than God.
That's right. Oh, my God.
He sent his son to die a horrible, horrible death on the cross just so he could have a relationship with us. Yeah. And so many are taking that for granted and just really not even considering the full impact of how much has God gone out of his way just so that he could have a relationship with us. He has met us much more than halfway here. I mean, all we have to do is literally fall into his arms.
Just respond. Oh my gosh, you're right. Yeah. Amen. For the joy set before him, he saw the potential in the beauty of great intimacy, and now he's continuing to pursue us and reach us. And now he's saying, will you do this with me? He's calling us into that, mm-hmm. right? We are, as ambassadors, we're appealing to the hearts of men in this ministry of reconciliation, and as if it was God appealing to their hearts. I love that Revelation 3 where God's like, I could use the master key. I could tear this door down with a chainsaw, but I will knock because love requires that we would say yes from our heart.
Absolutely, and we have to be partners with God in every aspect of this. We can't, as you say, we're not the Lone Ranger. There are no Lone Rangers in the kingdom. That's what Paul was saying when he says, you know, the eye may say, well, because I'm not an ear,
that's
I'm not
right.
part of the body. No,
that's
no, no,
right.
no, no. If you're in Christ, you're part of the body, and we need you. I heard a marvelous message the other day from one of our youth ministers over in Lighthouse Tabernacle in Gridley, young gentleman by the name of Alan Kessler, and he had a wonderful message. He said he was speaking to, at the time that I heard this, he was speaking to one of the convalescent homes in Live Oak, and he said, we need you. We need each and every one of you. Powerful message.
That's beautiful.
Because it was all about don't think that we don't need you, or that you can say, oh, I'll just skip Sunday, Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll just not go to this youth event. I'll just not go to this Chico Alive event because they're going to get along just fine without me. No, no, no. We need you.
Yes.
You are part of the body,
yes.
and we need you as much as you need
yes.
the rest of the body.
That's
if
right.
you're going to grow, you got to be connected to the body.
That's right.
You're not going to grow out on a limb somewhere.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, you are the branch.
Amen.
You cannot grow without the true vine.
That's right. You know, it's been beautiful seeing the Church of Chico just stepping in. Some, you know, and this is so beautiful because when we partner with God, there's so many facets of involvement, right? We've had, like I said, intercessors coming downtown Chico once a month, just praying. Some churches have been, you know what, we're going to be praying for this event. We're going to be inviting. Others have stepped in and said, you know what, we want to be boots on the ground. We want to be there when you need. We had a church step in and say, we like to help with the security, just bring in safety in case anything happens. You know, another team stepped in and said, we want to help with the medical, just being available, being ready. We met with some of our civil leaders in the city, the city manager, the chief of police, the chief of the fire department, and just shared with them the vision that we had rented the downtown for this purpose. And they just blessed us and gave us some wisdom into areas and said, you know, these are some things you might think about. And it was just, I tell you, the body of Christ has been just so beautiful in the response of all different levels of support. We've had people say, you know what, we want to help. We want to take up an offering. We know this is costing money and it's free. And so people have been stepping in and say, we want to be a part in some way or form. And the invitation, I want you to know, church, the invitation is open. If you want to know more details, we have our Youth with a Mission website is YWAMChico. It stands for Youth with a Mission Chico.com. In that, you'll find the events, the event part, the event page, and you go to Chico Alive. And it gives you a little bit more opportunity to read a little bit. What is this? Who's coming? How do we get involved? And then there's also an opportunity to give. You know, so these efforts also cost something. But I want you to know that we're trusting the Lord. He is the provider. And he is just, may he show us how we can get involved, how we can step in. If it's with prayer, if it's with boots on the ground, if it's with just encouraging our lost friends to go, maybe we would even bring people. We would say, hey, can I pick you up? I'll pick you up. We'll take you there, you know. Whether it's financially stepping in, saying, you know what, I like to help. Here's $5. Here's $100. I like to be a part. It doesn't matter. It's just we are stepping in and we want to agree with heaven. Because see, the Lord is coming. He's here. But he's saying, I want to show up in a special way. If my people will come together, I'm going to be there. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. And you know, that's what we're hoping is, why not Ground Zero be right here in Northern California, you know, for the revival that we know is soon to happen? Because we know that the Lord has prophesied the latter rain, you know?
Yeah.
And we've seen little dribbles of latter rain here and there and whatever. I'd like to usher in the latter rain.
Amen.
You know, I'd like to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will just reach out and grab the body of Christ and then also minister to those that are around.
Amen.
Because they cannot and will not be able to refute this with the wisdom of the world, you know?
Yes.
There are going to be some things that the Holy Spirit will do. And you know, I've heard a lot about different crusades around the world, and usually when you get enough Christians in mass in one place that have an expectation,
come on,
then you know, you lift up Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit can't help but show up. He can't help himself.
It's so beautiful.
He cannot help
He will
himself.
Draw all men to himself. Yes,
he
yes,
will draw yep. all men to himself.
I want to tell you something. When you go into this website, YWAMChico.com, and you check out the events, Chico Alive, you're going to see there's a banner in the back that's called Golden State Awakening. And I want to tell you something about that. See, my friend Chris, there was a sense in his heart that he felt the Lord was saying there's an awakening happening in our state that's not going to just be Chico. See, Chico is one beginning place. But it's going to move on. And I love the fact that there's a couple of sponsors from Oroville, pastors from. I want to tell you, I believe this in God's heart that we would do these kinds of things all throughout our cities in this place. And so I am praying and we are saying, Lord, where is the next city where we can go? See, there's nothing in it for us. We're not trying to build some church or of our personal thing. We're going to partner with churches and people in Oroville and in Marysville and throughout the cities of our nation and just say, could we have an evangelistic move of God in the center of your city to just present the gospel so that together we can bring in the nets full and bring them into the boats for the glory of God?
Well, it's easy enough. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you.
Yes.
That's the formula right there.
We have about 1 minute left now. Would you like to, Carlos, would you like to pray today and just give us a little reminder and blessing?
Amen. Amen. Jesus, I thank you for just the beauty of family, this family that you created. And thank you for the adoption of sons and daughters. Thank you for the way that you called us into the family business. And we just thank you for your passion for our city, our nation, our nations. And so we today just agree as your sons and daughters that we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of seeing our brothers and sisters come home. And we don't want to be like the older brother just working the field and getting angry at why are you making a big deal about him coming home. Father, we want to be the brother that says, I want to go out there and get my brother back because I see my father's heart as he waits, longing for him to come home. I want to go out there. I want to see the kingdom of God here in our midst, not just in China and in Africa and in the desperate places in the planet, but we want to see it here, God. So we say yes to you. We say yes to you, Holy Spirit. We say yes to you, Papa. Come and do what you desire to do in Chico and throughout our nation. In Jesus' name.
Amen.